Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to the bloody awesome movie podcast spoiler minisode for The Nun 2. Yes, scarily average sequel to the smash hit, according to the studio, The Nun. My name is Matt Hudson from whatiwatchtonight.co.uk, and joining me from across the pond, as ever, is John Burke from Burke Reviews. How are you, sir?
I am doing very well, Matt. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. I've had a few days now to digest The Nun 2. We dropped our non-spoiler review a few days back, and which we were both on. We both concluded that whilst the film was better than The Nun, it actually felt like a missed opportunity. It wasn't a great film, but it kind of felt like the bones were there for this to be pretty decent. But alas, what we got was what we got. We couldn't dive into the reasons why too much there. We're going to now, so... John, we dove quite deep actually into the film in non-spoilers. Let's go into full spoilers now for The Nun 2. Where do you want to start with this? Because should we kick into the MacGuffin or the chase or something like that?
There's so many things that I want to nitpick about this movie. Let's start with the MacGuffin. Eyeballs?
Jesus. Yeah, so the eyes of St. Lucy.
The patron saint of the blind. I knew nothing about. I googled while watching the film. I was like, oh, it's a real saint apparently. Yeah. I did not know that. I don't know if the movie, like, I don't know if you need to know that for it to like work within the context of the film, but the fact one, I still don't understand why the demon nun wants the eyes.
Oh no, the film doesn't want to tell you that. We're just told that if she gets it, it will be bad.
But it also, it doesn't seem like it would have worked. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it only seems to work with Lucy, not Lucy, Irene, because Irene apparently is a descendant of the Saint Lucy.
Jesus.
Which I thought for a moment they were going to tell us the demon nun was Lucy because her eyes glow and like the good eyes shout. Were removed. But no. And of course that wouldn't have made sense because we've been told the demon is named Valak and it chose this because it's blasphemous or whatever. But it would have also made sense for like a saint who was killed like to like be mad and take vengeance.
Sophie used it, the young actress played by Caitlin Rose Downey. She held it and started screaming and then it lit up, and that was the moment I referred to in the non-spoiler where I openly in my theater, where I was the only one, exclaimed a profanity. I was like, this is just stop it now, because for no reason this MacGuffin, which looked like my I don't want to say my Amazon AI thing over there, it looked like she's holding that and it lit up saying I had a notification. I'm like, what is this? Why is it now suddenly lighting up for this character, which allowed her to escape because Maurice was going to beat the hell out of her? Why now? And there was a few other moments which made me exclaim loudly, but that was it. That was the first one, because we'd been given no real reason, I don't believe, as to why I should think Sophie, the young kid from school, would be able to unlock the power of the eyes of St. Lucy, unless I missed something, but I don't think I did.
Yeah. Nope. If you've listened to this show for a while, I get real, real upset about rules, especially in the horror genre. There I feel like go. So many horror films just don't understand the fact that they are deciding what the rules are. Like, that's what makes me so mad. It's not that they don't follow my rules. It's that they are literally creating the world that this character lives in. And to just adhere to some sense of consistency. Like, why does the nun kill who she kills? It doesn't make any sense. Like, because from what we saw, super powerful, can do anything, and yet decides to manifest as magazines to Irene.
And then grab her by the throat, show her a vision, and just leave her.
Yeah, and it's like, again, if there's a reason for that, cool. If not, you got to explain it. Like, I will, like, Pennywise, the clown, he feeds on fear. So it makes sense when he just terrorizes the kids and doesn't just kill them. He's, like, tenderizing his meat, essentially. It is justified within the premise of the character. I have no sense of what the nun's goal is. We're told she's after this MacGuffin, but when the movie ends, I'm like, was she afraid it was going to be used to kill her? Did she know it would be used to kill her? Is it even a her? I don't know what the pronouns are for the nun. You know,
no idea. Just the nun. That's what I'm going to call it. I have no idea.
You know, and Irene, like I thought it was a really arresting scene to, because it gives a little bit of context to that first kill, because the priest is lifted and he's essentially in the crucifixion type pose, right? And he's set on fire. And then when it happens to Irene and then it stops, I was like, oh, what a slow burn. Haha. And then, like, for her to have superpowers, essentially, because she's a descendant, we get these weird flashbacks about her mom, which it would be meaningful had we actually had any, if it wasn't just crammed down our throat that she has mommy issues, right? Like, that's not a fact we knew about Irene. It's just, boom, here it is. And essentially, Deborah exists solely so that we can get that story from Irene about how, well, I actually don't, you know, remember my, it's like, shut up. This is all superfluous, and it doesn't, it's cramming in a superhero storyline to Irene's character.
Stinks. And it sucks. And Deborah, and listen, I don't think Taysa Farmiga or Storm Reid will look back on this film at any point and think, oh yeah, we were really good in that, because I think they are both very average. And Deborah, Storm Reid's character, she is just an archetype. She is just the rebel
stereotype.
Nun. Yeah, stereotype. It's just a stereotype, an archetype. Where it's we need a nun who doesn't believe, and at some point she's gonna see something. In this case, that was a miracle. Wow. She needs to see something to give her that faith, because she's only there because her dad sent her there, and all this. I was like, it's just
retrofitting in a franchise. If you remove Irene from this film completely, thus Deborah would be removed as well. Sophie finding the eyes, Sophie being the descendant of Lucy, makes so much more sense than retconning Irene's backstory that she is actually the descendant of Lucy. Like, it would make so much more sense for Sophie to be, because it even, like, you mentioned Sophie touches the thing. It would make more sense for Popowell, because maybe we can find out that she actually adopted Sophie or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, so much is right there, and instead you cram the nun from the previous movie, which, again, I'm now questioning the naming of the film as to be maybe Irene is the titular nun and not the demon nun, but
you could be right, because Valak isn't really used very well.
No, and again, Irene is now the central character in two movies called The Nun, and she is in fact a nun. But yeah, I just feel like they cram that in, and it would have been so much more organic with Sophie. And again, Sophie, I think, could have carried it. She's very believable.
She's very good.
Now, okay. If it's okay if I shift to two things real fast.
It is. I just want to say, I agree with you on the rules. I know I mentioned that as well, but there was too many moments in here where Valak, the nun, would do some pretty awesome kills, and then other times when it was just convenient fake out. And I totally agree as well. It's a hypothetical situation, but I do want to believe that if you didn't have such a connectivity with the first film, which you can do, you could just have Valak, the demon nun, be the nun. Then I do think this film potentially could have been stronger if they dropped those Irene and Deborah scenes, tightened it up. Could have been a pretty solid film, but.
And you still have Maurice from the first film, so like, and it would make sense. He makes sense why he's relevant in this movie.
He's the only relevant part of this, other than Irene is relevant because whoever, some kind of emissary, basically says, 007, we've got a mission for you, and sends her off around Europe.
I say it's relevant, but like, the implication is that Maurice is attached to Valak, but like, it's not,
he's taken his soul,
but he's not possessed, because Valak seems to manifest, like, you don't see the demon in The Exorcist, right? Like, we know Reagan is possessed, but it's not like the demon's also doing things. You know what I'm, like, the demon's not outside of Reagan's body in other sequences and then inside Reagan's, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, we just have to imagine it. Yeah.
You just have to, but here Valak is very much apparently able to do all sorts of things. Again, no consistency with the rules, but, okay.
Carry on.
There's definitely a Raiders of the Lost Ark vibe when they use the stained glass window, goat eye, a flashlight, which, yes, of course, you're going to be able to mirror the sun, to make the laser show where to dig to find Lucy's eyes. It reminds me of the Raider scene with, you know, he's got the amulet and the sun shines down. Obviously not good. It's just like a nod to.
Yeah.
But it annoyed me because Formiga, what's her name? It's not Vera. That's the other.
Tysa Formiga.
She, like, the laser's going to hit the ground, and she, like, holds her hand up so that it's on her palm, and then, like, moves her palm with it. I'm like, hey, just look at the ground, you moron. What are you doing?
Travels until it hits a spot, and then it...
Yeah, like, what are you talking? What are you doing?
I dug the creature design that came from the goat, especially when it's...
That was my next thing.
Didn't mind that.
I did. I thought it looked stupid as hell.
I mean, the idea of it is like a goat man is... And also, they call it the devil... But we know that one thing that can stop the devil is a well-locked door. It is the devil, and they close a door and just turn the latch, and the devil couldn't get through.
Here's my problem with it, though. Why? Like, did Valak make that happen, or was that a separate... Like, because the lore is there before Valak, right? Because the girls tell the story, which I thought was made up. Did Valak overhear it and was like, good idea? Goat man, like, you know, because
I'd love Chavez and the gang to have told us, but no, it's just another thing to throw in. I didn't mind the design, more so when it was in the shadows and it was kind of lurking around the corner. I was like, okay, that's pretty creepy. But when you see it, it's not like Black Peter, or his name is from The Witch, where I can kind of buy that. It looked a bit stupid close up.
It also, like, though, it reminds me of Conjuring 2 and the creepy man thing.
It's Tall Man, what his name is.
Yeah, because it felt like that's not the main part of this movie. I feel, if I remember correctly, that was like a secondary monster to the regular ghost.
They tried to spin that off as well.
Yeah, and are we going to get a Goat Man movie? Because again, I don't understand the connection to Valak, because it implies that not only can Valak apparently like kill Irene essentially, or start to, but it can also have a goat man tormenting children. Like, did they manifest a second demon? Can demons, like,
whilst doing nothing, phone a friend? Again, the goat managed to pierce its horns through one of their shoulders with a lucky shot through a door. But that was it. And again, there's a couple of creepy moments with the old matriarch in the corner of the other room. Pretty creepy. And then what happens? Girl comes away. So-and-so standing up. Right with her face by the vent. You're like, guys, you can see, just don't do that. We know what's coming. Move. There's too much here that they don't abide by the rules. They try to go too far into this. And I think that is what ruins the film, other than the, for me, very lackluster acting, apart from young Sophie. The obviously awful dialogue where they're talking about demons an awful lot. At one point, so Sister Irene just looks up and says, "The eyes." And I laughed. And then after about 15 minutes of absolute, like, the monastery / boarding school is being torn to pieces by this goat man and a literal demon from hell. And Anna Popwell's character, Kate, eventually turns around. She's like, "Where's Sophie?" As in, "Where's my kid? I've got all these other kids to safety, but where's my own one?" I was like, dude, if she's not dead, then she's very much going to be dead soon. And of course, they find each other within seconds, and it's all very happy families, and it's bloody awful because of that. But the connection here, I mentioned it in the non-spoiler, and I was trying to sort of skip around it, but there is a massive connection now to the Conjuring verse, which... We both agree that I just wish these were standalone, which were kind of tangentially connected without being so definitively connected. But when Irene is apparently being burnt alive, which again, I was like, oh, this is such, damn, they're going there. They're going to, wow, okay. They're actually showing the demon doing what she can do. Fine. And then they back out. But when she is having her vision and realizes that she is a descendant of Saint Lucy, which, not going to lie, I think that's just like Irene and Deborah realizing that the eyes of Saint Lucy just happened to be in the boarding school where they were at in the first place, is very coincidental and lazy. She is the descendant of Saint Lucy, but she's having visions, and they are very quick, but she thinks of her mother and her father. But very, 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 very clearly, she also has a vision and sees Lorraine Warren, played by Vera Farmiga. So we're now led to believe that Lorraine Warren is also a descendant of Saint Lucy herself, which, I mean, we're talking about The Conjuring started off as based on a true story, and now we're talking about Lorraine Warren's descendant of a blind saint from the 1800 from the Christ time, whenever it was. But so it just shows how things have really, really kind of gone off the rails a bit here. But so that is a huge, huge tie in there. So I think the final film is going to tie into that a lot.
Let's take a moment, though, because that's a good segue into the post-credit scene.
Yes, yes, sir, which we did get one. Just one.
I think one of the worst post-credit singers I've ever seen.
It's so pointless. It's so freaking pointless.
Are we supposed to know who he's talking to?
Oh, thankfully, Google was my friend after this. So phone rings, girl answers. It turns out to be the Warren's daughter, who refers to them as Mr. and Mrs. Warren, which is weird. And she gives Patrick Wilson the phone, and he's like, hey. He'd obviously just finished fixing pipes and singing Elvis. And it turns out to be a father. It might be Father Gordon or something, Father Graham, something like that. Father Graham, I think it is. Hey, hey, guys, something's happened in France to Maurice or something like that. I always say, but very kind of, we find out it's Father Graham. He basically says, I've got, something's come up. I need to talk to you. I've got a mission for you. He looks at Lorraine and he says, basically says, you know, talk to me. Go on. What's happening? And then it ends. This is a phone call. I think what I've gleaned from this, and this is paraphrasing massively now, but I know that the bones are true. Maurice, or Frenchy, was in the very beginning of The Conjuring, the first film. He is in like some of the pictures or some of the case files there. So there is a link to the first film with that character played by a different actor now. And Father Graham is apparently, I don't know, like Nick Fury, but he kind of popped up in some of these films. But he has been in other films as well. But I think the whole thing now is they're bringing it full circle that they were talking about or looking at something to do with Maurice in the beginning of that first film. And I think that's how The Last Rites, which is apparently the final Conjuring film, is going to bring it full circle with them, I guess, investigating Maurice, who is now apparently free of the demon. So well, I don't know how it works.
Now, I have not double checked this, but while I was watching The Nun 2, I thought I read that at the end of The Nun, there was a stinger where they were doing an exorcism on Maurice, like the Warrens, and Vera touches him and sees like a sign of Patrick Wilson's death.
I thought I was in the film.
I don't know now, dude. I don't understand anything. So maybe I'm just misread something. Again, I was reading it while watching a movie, which you should not do, folks. Please don't do that.
That's a Nun 2 off. That was what
I was
did
very
to.
Lost during the Nun 2. So I was like, I need to know what's happening.
And they try to show you, but like JB told me, you know, just Wikipedia the first film, you might help you. But apparently the post-credit scene is going to tie into the beginning of the first film, which is great. The first film is in a big way, and it's going to come full circle in a universe which I don't care about. This and the Cloverfield verse are the most loosely connected universes I know. Film's too long, John. Had some good moments in it, some cool kills. I really did actually like the intro with the priest was getting immolated. I was like, that's pretty gnarly. And then the kid who's gone to deliver jars of sweets or whatever, for no reason whatsoever, just gets her neck snapped by the nun. I was like, damn, they went there. This is all in the first 20, 25 minutes, half an hour. And I was like, okay, we're setting the scenes and we're setting up that Valak has been beaten, defeated. She's back with an actual vengeance and we might have an actual threat here. And the nun was a threat because when she appeared, 95% of the time, something very bad happened, like the matriarch's kid this vision or being reanimated corpse of a child, killing or beating the hell out of his mother with the church bell, the altar bell, and her dying because of it. That was a pretty grim, that's a nasty, that's an evil scene that was, and kind of dug it for that sense that the film was willing to go there, but then they pulled back and fell into too much of their comfort zone, which is what is killing these films. Because The Conjuring as well, the first film, 90 minutes I think, and again it's got some really nasty moments in it which I think are really effective. Then they just went too big, too much, too wild, and this film is the disease has spread into this film as well, where it could have been a really solid atmospheric horror film. But it isn't. It was better than the first one. But there's just so much that they shoot themselves in the foot along the way that it ends up becoming just nonsense by the end. By the time we get to Descendants of Saints, and I know the first film had Knights of the Round Table and weird stuff like that, but it's getting too big and convoluted, too messy and too prophetic for its own good, and it's lost what made The Conjuring, for me, such an effective and fantastically good horror film.
Mm-hmm. Of which I'm still a fan of that movie.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
But that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I was just thinking, nothing else on that one. Nothing else you want to add then, Jay, before we wrap up?
Nope, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to say it. You have none, I have none too. That is the last time I'm actually going to be able to say these abysmal puns, which I have driven into the ground. But that is that then for our spoiler minisode of The Nun 2. Thankfully, we won't be revisiting it again for a long time. Unless they do a Nun 3, then maybe we'll have to Wikipedia this one as well. We'll be back next week with our non-spoiler and spoiler reviews for A Haunting in Venice, which is hopefully better than this, but we're struggling in the next few weeks with quality content. But if you want to tell us what you thought about The Nun 2, and we'd love to hear your thoughts, positive or negative, you can find us on Twitter/X at BAMP_podcast, BAMP_podcast. John, where are we on Instagram/threads?
We are at Bloody Awesome Movie Pod.
And on Facebook, Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast. We are on the Tomato Meter. We're Rotten Tomatoes Approved Podcast, so you'll see our reviews adding to the Tomato Meter. Yes, The Nun is going to be getting that green rotten from us. We take no pride in saying that. We can only be honest. So if you want to find me online to talk about films, you can do whatiwatchtonight.co.uk and just search What I Watch Tonight across all the socials, including Letterboxd. And JB, where on earth are you?
I'm at BurkeReviews.com and at BurkeReviews on all the social media platforms.
Yes, sir. And if you love what we're doing, we really hope you do. Please do consider leaving us a 5-star rating and review on your podcast provider of choice, because it gets more people listening, gets us up the lists, and we get to hear from more film fans each and every week. But with that, as always, stay bloody awesome.
And keep watching movies. Blood, 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 bloody, blood, 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 bloody, blood, blood.